You are listening to the podcast of Richland Hills Baptist Church. We are located in Richland Hills, Texas. Our desire here is to believe, live, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you're listening to our podcast today, if you have any questions, you can find us on the web at richlandhillsbc.com. God bless you. Throughout history, mothers have not only shaped their families, but they've also had influence on entire cultures. You can look through the annals of history and you can see the influence of mothers on some of the great men and women who have impacted our world. There's many examples. But one of the most famous mothers of our nation, one of the most famous mothers that has influenced people of high position in our country is Abigail Adams. Abigail Adams was the wife of John Adams, and she was the mother of John Quincy Adams. She was the wife of a president and the mother of a president. In fact, she would hold this distinction until Barbara Bush. For that 176 years, she played this very important role in the presidency of our country. But what's interesting about Abigail Adams is she was a very prolific letter writer. In fact, you can go on the archives of our country and you can see many of the letters that she wrote to her husband and her son. She was an intellectual. She was very deep in the intellect, in her faith. She never had a formal education, as was normal for women of that time. And although her faith did evolve over time, she was very well versed in Scripture. In fact, in many of her letters, she would weave in Scripture through the letters to her husband and children. When she wrote to her son, John Quincy Adams, you can sense the motherly advice and motherly affection. But the advice is kind of funny in some ways. You can sense the mothering. She wrote to him one time. She says, "Now I hope you never appear in Senate with a beard 2 days old, or otherwise make what is called a shabby appearance." And then later she wrote, "What would people think, what kind of mother I am if you show up like that?" That's very motherly, isn't it? What are people going to think if you act like that? And then later, though, she wrote with an encouragement for him to be a man of integrity. She said, "So long as you live, may you hold fast your integrity." Is this sincere and fervent prayer of your affectionate mother? They would disagree about things. They would write and you would hear disagreement, and they would, in fact, I mean, one of the big things they disagreed was doctrine and theology. But yet even there you can see the great impact that she had on John Quincy Adams' life, an impact that he recognized. And we understand that mothers have a profound impact on their children. I cannot help but think of really the most famous mother in the Bible, and that's the mother of Jesus, Mary. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. We're really going to be here in more of a summary today of her life and ministry in different parts of Scripture. But I want us to hear from Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Again, more of a summary. "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born," that's Mary. "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them." Let us pray. Father, We thank you again for our mothers. And as we look at your word this morning, and as we are reminded of the mother of Jesus, Mary, we thank you for her ministry, but also the example that we can pull from her life. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a little interesting, I imagine, on Mother's Day to hear a passage that you normally hear at Christmas. We know that passage. We know about the mother of Jesus. We know Mary. But too often, I think that Mary is relegated to the Christmas message only. Now, it's true, there's not an overabundance of Mary in Scripture, but there is some other scriptures other than what we read here in Luke chapter 2. And so it perhaps is that reason, but I think there's another reason that we don't talk too much about Mary. And I think the big reason is this: we're not Catholic, right? We think, well, you know, I think Protestants through the years, we sort of see the overabundance of Mariology and Mary in the Catholic Church. And I think Protestants have always thought, well, we're going to stay a little bit away from that. We don't want to worship Mary. We don't want to go too far. And even in Catholicism, Mariology is not a top-tier doctrine, but for many practicing Catholics, we do see that Mary sometimes, while they may not say she's worshiped, seems to be. And so Protestants, I think, steer a little clear from that, but perhaps too much. Because in the Bible, we do see a picture, a portrait of a faithful woman. A portrait that I believe can, if we allow it, to have a great impact. And perhaps it's a loss that we don't focus on that. I have no question in my mind that Mary played a critical earthly role in the life of Jesus. She was there at his birth. She was there at his death. And she was there after his resurrection. His whole life, his whole ministry. Imagine being in the first century, a young lady, a teenager. You're there and your life is really going according to plan. You've been engaged or betrothed to a man named Joseph. And you know in your mind that eventually would come marriage and then would come children. And it's all the normal lot of a first century Jewish girl's life. It's what it's going to be, and this is what she expects. But then one night, all of this was about to change. Everything in her life was about to change. An angel appears to Mary and says, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." I cannot help but think for just in my own mind, I cannot help but imagine Mary say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Back up a second, Mr. Angel. I've never been with a man. This ain't how things work in Nazareth." But then the angel says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the child shall be called holy. Nothing is impossible with God. I mean, even there, Mary, she's like, wait, this isn't the biological reality. This isn't how things happen. And the angel tells her this. And do you know how Mary responded? She responded in faith. She responded in faith. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is actually juxtaposed in the Gospel of Luke with a little bit before with Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the angel had told him, hey, these things are going to happen. And he sort of, it seems to have a similar question, but it was different. Mary's question was bathed in faith, and Zechariah's was more of one of doubt. Zechariah had been praying for a child, and when the angel shows up to tell him, he questions it. But Mary believed. And think about that. Think about the significance, and really I think this is going to shape her whole life. A young teenage Jewish girl showed more faith than the priest Zechariah. The man that should know, the man who should believe, he knows scripture, he knew all the things, and yet she showed more faith than him. And here we're going to see how her faith shaped her life. A short time later, Mary, she goes and she visits her relative Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. And the Bible says that Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Do you know how Mary responds? She responds in great faith. She responds in praise. And this is where we get the Magnificat, Mary song of praise. I want you to hear the words again of this young Jewish girl. "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He has shown mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their throne and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Do you hear those words of this Jewish teenager? This young girl who she knows God's word, she knows the scripture, she believes. And she responded in faith. And then later when Mary, when she gives birth to Jesus, she's there and of course all the shepherds show up. And these shepherds, I mean, they are praising God and it's amazing. And do you know what it says? Scripture says, it says she treasured these things in her heart and she pondered them. Mary treasured all these things and she believed what they were saying about her son. I mean, this child that she gave birth to in the normal way, they're praising him, they're worshiping him, and Mary believed. Mary had great faith. And when I think of motherhood, I cannot think of the fact that faith is an important, a critically important part in a person's life. And I've said this before, and I've said this at other times, probably on other Mother's Day, that it is quite possible, quite probable actually, that before you came to faith in Christ, that you had a mother or grandmother praying for you. Is there anybody here that you could testify to that you know? Look at that. The faith of a mother, the faith of a woman in your life. Some of the most fiercest prayer warriors that I know are women praying on their knees, praying to God. seeking His favor in the lives of those that she loves. Not a selfish prayer for herself, but a prayer for those around her. You see, motherhood is always sacrificial. Motherhood. Jesus, He was born into a normal Jewish household. In this household, they would have gone through the normal Jewish customs of learning the Torah and walking through that. The Bible tells us that He grew in stature and wisdom. Now, I have no doubt that Mary played a part in His life. And I know that's strange for us. Like, Jesus is God in the flesh. He had nothing to learn, right? He knows all things, but yet in His humanity, the Bible tells us He grew in wisdom. He went through the normal process. He went through that process, and again, Mary would have played an important role in His life. After that, the Bible records a handful of times that Mary was present in His life. We know their faith because they presented Him in 8 days to be circumcised. They went to the temple. Remember the account where they lose Jesus? They don't know where He is. Then He's there with the religious leaders of the day, and they're astounded. But then the next account that we really read about Mary in more detail is it was at a wedding. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus and His disciples and Mary, they were there at a wedding. And in this wedding, they run out of wine. So Jesus' mother comes to Him and says, "They've run out of wine." And Jesus said, "Woman," now that was more respectful than it sounds to us today, I promise. "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." You know what she says? That she doesn't argue with Jesus. She doesn't say, "Jesus, yes, you know, it's the time." She goes, "Do whatever He tells you to." She knew that Jesus was about to do something. She knew that Jesus could and He would, and so she was there. There's a lot that you could unpack, but she was there. Mary was there in His life, and she was present, and she knew that Jesus could solve this problem. Then we fast forward to the cross. All the disciples, really except one, they've all but deserted Jesus. Peter denies Him. The others run away scared. They're afraid. And yet, who's there? Mary. His mother. The same Mary that held this tiny baby and looked at him and rocked him to sleep, kissed his cheeks, tickled his toes, patted his back. This same Mary that looked at his hands as a newborn, saw him as they pierced His hands like a criminal. This Mary was there. She saw Him. She saw Him crucified. And it would have been quite understandable if Mary couldn't take emotionally that weight and she would have hidden or went somewhere else. It would have been quite understandable if Mary could not have been there to watch that, but she didn't leave Him. I don't want to speak where the Bible doesn't speak, but I can't ponder this reality that Mary was there. His mother. She was there. There's something beautiful about this. The presence of a mother. And I understand not all of us have had the same influence of mothers in our lives, and I understand that, but I will tell you this, that those who've had a present mother, they know the beauty and the blessing of it. And one of the greatest ministries of a mother, and I wanted to encourage you in this, and it's a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, whatever it may be, it's the ministry of presence. Being there to listen, to talk to, the highs and lows. And I look back in my life and I'm very thankful for my mom's presence in my life. In the normal time, she was there, and I remember driving in the van, and I was in a play in elementary school, and we're there practicing the lines. And that just stands out to me because she encouraged me. I'd go with her to the laundromat, and she'd give me quarters to play Pac-Man. And that's a kind of a random thing to remember, but to me it's a presence. But then in those dark moments, when things seem bleak. And for me, normally I call her mom, but when things are real bad, it's mama. Mama, I don't know what to do. And she's always been there. And there's a special presence. And I know, again, that for those who haven't had that, there's a sadness there. But I want you to know that there's a deep love of a mother. Mary was there. She was there when he breathed his first, and she was there when he breathed his last. She was faithful. And so women have a role to be faithful in this life. She was present. But then I want you to see that Mary's story is much deeper than just her as a mother. Mary's story is much deeper than she was the mother of Jesus, because while she was the mother, she also became a follower. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, they're in the upper room praying. Do you know who is there? Mary. She was right there, and Mary would have been there when the Holy Spirit fell. Mary was there because why? Not just because Jesus was her son, but because Jesus was her Lord. Jesus was her Lord, and Mary had come to know Jesus. Again, more than just her baby boy, more than just the little guy that grew up, but she came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Sometimes people like to kind of make fun of the song, Mary, Did You Know? I love that song. But some people kind of make fun of it a little bit, and they say you can just answer it real quick. Yes, Mary knew. But the reality is, what I like about that song is I actually think it fits that Mary, yes, she knew quite a bit. We understand that she understood a lot of things. But Mary also had to experience the unfolding of Jesus' ministry and plan just as everybody else did. She didn't know every detail of his life and what would happen at the very beginning. I believe that she saw the unfolding of that plan as he lived and ministered. And I believe it's in that unfolding that Mary came to fully know and understand her son. She was a follower of Christ. And when I think of that, I think of the reality that in order to truly live out motherhood and truly to understand what it means to be a mother, I believe flows from the need first to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. To really be the mother that God calls you to be, you must be in relationship with Him, the creator of motherhood. And we're only in relationship with God through His Son Jesus, through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection, believing and trusting in Jesus to save us from our sins. It's only then that you can truly have a complete motherhood. You say, well, that doesn't even connect, Pastor. I don't even know how that makes sense. Well, it connects quite a bit because you see, there are too many people in this world trying to mother out of their own strength, and we can't do it, can we? We need the grace of God. And that grace only comes through Christ. But yet in this life, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, is it? It's not all easy. I certainly can't stand up here and paint this picture of everything as rosy, because it's not. There are sometimes deep hurts in people's lives, burdens, pains. And Joseph pointed out that even in God's character, there's a mothering quality to him. No, we're not saying that God is a woman. There are crazy theological people that say that. But there's a mothering quality. And so I say that because while there are hurts and you're here and maybe your heart is greatly burdened, God cares for you. God loves you. It may be grief is eating you up this morning. God is near to the brokenhearted. And while you are suffering maybe the loss of a mother or the loss of a relationship with a mother or a loss of, if you're a mother, you have a loss of relationship with children. Sometimes these things happen. God is gracious. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would know that God will never leave us and never forsake us. But for mothers that are here, are you a mother of faith? Do you believe? No, you're not perfect, but do you believe? Do you strive to be present and available? Do you strive to point your children to Jesus? And perhaps, maybe you haven't always. It can always start today. And so my prayer is that we look at this ministry of Mary. Again, not to worship her, not to place her on any sort of pedestal that's higher than Jesus, but simply to look at her life and to look at her ministry and see that it was a ministry of love, a mother's love. Let us pray. Father, I know that your word speaks to our hearts. I know, God, that your word speaks to our broken pieces in our life, the hurts, the pains. But God, your word also illuminates to us what we can be in Christ. It shows us the impact and influence that mothers can and do have. And Lord, I pray this morning that mothers would be greatly encouraged, that you would move. And God, perhaps you are speaking to someone's heart this morning. Perhaps you are speaking through your word. Maybe you are urging someone to come to Christ this morning. They've never experienced that great love of Jesus. They've never experienced the mercy that comes through Christ. God, maybe there's someone here that desperately needs that. May you move in someone's heart. But Father, if there are others that are suffering this morning in different ways, I pray that right now you would, Lord, that you would bind up the hearts of the broken. Lord, that your spirit would comfort. God, we know that you are a God of grace. And even some this morning, they don't know exactly how to proceed in their life. I pray that you would give wisdom. God, May we leave here encouraged, knowing that you will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Lord, we know that you are good and your plans are good. So may you lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.